Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
I love riding my bike. I love running. I don't care what they think about it. I love it.
At that point when I knew I was going to win, chills just went up and down my entire body.
I don't believe there are any good or bad foods. Food is food.
I still feel so passionate about getting that record that I'm like, I'm just going to do it.
As an athlete, I was like, what's my story or what's your story? What can you learn from it? And what can you teach people?
Welcome to the Iron Women Podcast. I'm Alyssa Gadeski here with Haley Chura. Haley is revving up quite literally for her first race of 2024, which we found out about checking my notes like a week ago or so. So Haley, how is prep going for the PTO race in Miami? T100, this is what we're calling it, T100 Miami.
Vroom, vroom. Yes, Alyssa, T100 Miami. This is the first stop of the brand new Professional Triathletes Organization World Tour. And I don't think I was actually supposed to announce that last week. Now that I'm like, no announcements have come out. I think there was a post that I saw like over the weekend that said, you know, well, who do you think the wild cards are going to be? And I was like, oops. But again, it's been kind of
only
fun,
a couple thousand of our best friends know early. That's perk of being an Iron Women listener, as far as I'm concerned.
This has been an interesting experiment because I told a couple people like, you know, in like actual conversation, like my mom and stuff like that and my coach. But I hadn't actually like told a lot of people because it was such a whirlwind. And so I can tell who listens to the podcast. And so I'm like, oh, certain people, I'm like, I like you a little bit more. Thank you. When they tell me, congrats on Miami, you get some brownie points from some of my athletes. I'm like, oh, I'll give you a little extra in your workout. A little like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm still coaching.
30 seconds extra rest.
Yeah, exactly. Like a little extra minute or like an extra gold star for that workout. But that has been an interesting experiment because it isn't really elsewhere on the internet. It's only here, Iron Women exclusive.
And so I know last week we kind of talked about like the heat, you were thinking about cramming in some heat prep. What did you end up doing? Have you been hitting sauna, hot tub, anything, or are we going in quite literally as a cold turkey and seeing what happens?
I've been hitting the sauna, no cold turkey. I had just enough time to squeeze in a sauna protocol. And this sauna protocol I got from Stacey Sims, who has been a podcast guest, Dr. Stacey Sims, years ago. And I used it in 2014 for the first time when I was prepping for Ironman Fortaleza. And it was November. I was living in Atlanta and I won Ironman Fortaleza. That was really hot and I handled it really well. And so I was like, okay, it works. But it is something that like drains me a lot. Like I do find I was talking to one of my athletes about this, about like my rationale behind this, because I'm not someone who likes to compromise my workouts. So I'm not someone who's going to like put a bunch of sweatshirts on and go for a run, or it's also very cold outside. I would have to wear like an excessive amount of sweatshirts, but I use a fan still at the treadmill. I use a fan when I'm on the bike because I want my workouts to be like as good as possible. Like I actually want to really perform in my workouts. And so I find that the sauna protocol is better. So I do it after my last workout of the day. When I'm dehydrated, like you're already dehydrated going into the sauna, you sit in the sauna, like I sip on water, but don't chug it, and then slowly rehydrate for like 3 or 4 hours after the sauna. And so It's very uncomfortable. And yesterday I actually did a treadmill run, did some strength and went right to the sauna. So it's like everything was at the gym and I was like dying. It's not fun. Like, it's not my favorite thing. I feel like my skin looks extra good though. So that's like one thing. I do feel like the sauna is good for your skin. Like, I understand why there's so many people in there. Like, there's benefits.
I think there's a lot of benefits. I mean, I actually was reading some studies this weekend about like the, you know, decreased risk of like dementia. And then like, even like they were finding, I forget if they said it was like cancer or certain types of cancer, but like they were, it was like this pretty good list of things that had me thinking. I was like, maybe I should just be doing it just for like, you know, as normal, because I guess normal people go right whenever I've gone in there.
It's to try and so busy.
Normal people are in there. Right. So I'm like, maybe these people are onto something and I need to start going. So, I think it's probably more pleasant if I'm not like working out a lot ahead of time. Right.
So yeah, if you don't do the like functional dehydration part, it feels good, especially this time of year. I think, you know, if you're just in there for a few minutes, it's warm, it's nice. I try to stay in for 20 to 30 minutes. I do try to not be competitive about it. And this was like, these were the guidelines set by Stacey, because the goal isn't necessarily like, it's not even like heat acclimatization necessarily. It's like, you're trying to like, I think, increase your sweat rate. So you start sweating earlier, so you have a more evaporative cooling. And then you're also trying to increase your blood plasma volume, which I will say, like, I live at altitude and that is a very fine line between like good and bad. Like, I feel like that's another thing when you're at altitude, like I am now, you have to like be a little bit more careful because your body's already under a lot of stress and then you're adding more stress. And so this is something that I like would not encourage people to just like go and do. Like, talk to your coach about it, think about it, weigh the pros and cons. And that's also something like I talked about a year ago, I weighed the pros and cons and it was like sauna time was a con. Like, it just I didn't have the time of my day. I didn't have the fitness level. I didn't feel like it was worth it. I went to Miami. I was hot, but I finished the race. It was fine. You know, it worked out fine. I did do it for Kona because it was a different time of year, different place in my training. And also this year, I feel like I'm in a different place in my training. I have different goals and I feel like the pros kind of outweigh the cons, but it's not like it is something you have to think about. I wouldn't say just like go jump in there, but Alyssa, it's like I said, I go to a gym that has a co-ed sauna. And so it's, the conversations that are in there, especially because when it's my last workout of the day, I'm in there like a little bit later in the day. And it's a lot of young people, like that's who goes to the gym, I think, later in the day. And their conversations are fascinating. Can I share a few?
Sure. Yeah. Let's do it.
So I think this was one of the other day, there was two women, young women talking, and I think they were talking about like psilocybin usage, like mushrooms. And one of them actually said that she thinks it like, it is the key to her financial stability. It helps like get through the block, mental block. And then she's able to like make more money. And I was like, wait a second, what?
All right.
That was a good one. Yesterday, there were a couple men who I think were like military and they were talking about like silent retreats, like going on like a silent retreat, which I thought this was really fascinating. And
that is really interesting.
And theirs then devolved into drugs too.
Mushrooms. So I
think, yeah. And I think like ayahuasca. And because then one of the guys is like, don't you get drug tested? And they're like, they're not testing for ayahuasca. Psilocybin. So I'm like, these are the new things that young people are into, I guess.
That's amazing.
But yeah, I know, I'm like all these like meditation retreats, like really like self-actualization. But I'm like, that's like, isn't that what we're doing? I guess that's like the type of people who sit in the sauna. Like, they're really into those things.
Yeah, I think so. I was just thinking, as you said, it was like a co-ed sauna. And all the saunas I think I've ever had access to are also co-ed. And I must have like a face where everyone just wants to talk to me or something. So that's like the problem I run into. Like, usually I just want to sit and suffer in silence. And then people just want to like talk to me about something. And it's like time when I would like to just be not talking to someone. But a couple weeks ago, I was visiting a friend in Boston, Haley, and we went to do a morning workout and we went to a women's only gym, which is like probably a fairly common thing in the city. You know,
Curves was a big thing for
a
while.
So I thought about Curves too. I thought we were going to Curves, but then it was like, I think it was called HealthWorks, which like they definitely, if I was on the marketing team, like they should up their name game, like make it sound more fun, right? Like, it sounded like I was going to like a physical therapy studio that was going to have like, you know, some ladies on ellipticals or something, right? Like make it sound, it was like a legit gym and had a super like the like strength area was very impressive. It was not like, you know, HealthWorks made it sound like, I don't know. I felt like I was going to go into like a Pink It or Shrink It type of environment, but it was not that. Very impressed, loved the atmosphere. And I thought it was really fun to just like hear the classes with only women and like see only women on the machines. And in the, you know, it's definitely not as intimidating as, because I do get intimidated in like gym environments, not around the cardio, on my own in the cardio, but like in the like weightlifting area around the like bars and the things like that. Like I still am figuring out my way around that. So I don't love to like be in a intimidating environment. And I found it with the women there. It was very nice. But I think they had saunas there, and that made me wish that we like missed the boat to go into the women's only sauna. And I bet it's like fun. I bet I would enjoy that way more.
I used to go to the sauna at Montana State before the roof collapsed on their gym like 5 years ago. And they had co-ed saunas, or not co-ed, single gender saunas. And so it was like, but they were like back to back, and I would be in the women's sauna and like everyone in there is like silent. Like everyone is just like doing their thing. And then you could hear the men on the other side and so much chatting, like so much chatting. And I was like, thank God I'm not over there. But then I said, switch gyms. And then this gym like actually renovated and did like co-ed locker rooms and co-ed sauna. And people were like up in arms about this, and it has been totally fine. Like it's totally fine. I mean, the sauna is a lot bigger now, and actually it works better than the sauna that was there before. So I'm thankful for that, because that's what I want most of all is like function. But I bring a magazine in because I'm like so sweaty. You can't bring your phone. It's like, gets too hot, hopefully. And like, I'm just like sweat on the magazine and it ruins it. But then no one talks to me. So
yeah.
I will say though, my gym, I think it's like 90% men. And so it's just like, it is one of those things where it's a lot of men, but I think because I went to the University of Georgia, and like when we were lifting the swim team, like our lifting time would be at the same time as like a lot of the like field athletes. So like shot putters and, discus throwers who are like lifting insane amounts, like
they're doing real lifting, like real lifting. Yeah.
Like it was insane how strong these people were. And so it's hard to intimidate me. Like mostly sometimes I look around and I'm like, oh my gosh, those guys are so not strong. Terrible. But my, you know, my scale is off a little.
Well, I'm excited to see you reap the benefits of this heat training. I'm excited to see if in 20 years we find that you have a decreased risk of dementia as well from heat training that you're doing from time to time.
That would be worth it.
Yeah, I mean,
that might be worth my suffering right now if I find this out. I know I like these stats you found.
Yeah, we'll be sponsored by like St. John's Wort or something, some kind of memory supplement by then. But yeah, Haley, I think that will be exciting. And that leads us into, I mean, race week is going to be next week. And Haley, you will be traveling to Miami, getting yourself ready to go. I will be doing a collab episode mashup. I haven't decided if I'm calling it a collab or a mashup yet with the women at If We Were Riding. And so we will be TBD on the output of the mashup collab episode, but probably Friday is our guest. So if you are our regular faithful Iron Women listeners who wake up on Thursday mornings, just know that next week, maybe move that run that you run with Iron Women to Friday and run with the Iron Women If We Were Riding episode, where I will be chatting with those ladies and we will be previewing the race in Miami a little bit. And I'm sure talking about some other fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Our podcast editor, Lydia, is also racing in Miami next week. I think as part of, there's like a Continental Cup race. So Olympic distance athletes that are going for those Olympic qualification points are racing. I think Katie Zafiris I saw was like maybe on that start line and list. And so that'll be really fun. And I think we talked about like Paratri also might have a race then. And I'm really hoping I get to see some of these races in person on the Speedway in Miami. I'm still figuring out our whole schedule there. So if you are confused, so am I, but hopefully tune in next week. Alyssa and the If We Were Riding crew should have all the broadcast details for you so that you can watch me race and maybe a few other feisty adjacent athletes as well.
Yes. And Haley, is that all our news for this week? Am I missing anything? Should we talk about who I talked to this week?
I mean, I think so. I think there's just been a lot of running races happening. I feel like that's what my athletes have been doing, and I've been excited about that. But I don't think there was much in triathlon world this past week. I mean, we have Ironman New Zealand coming up this weekend, which is going to be fun to watch. And then things are going to get rolling here really, really quick. So people can enjoy the lack of news other than my sauna conversations.
Yeah. Well, I will say I was spectating. I had a couple athletes racing the snowshoe race that's on Mount Washington this past weekend. And I have to give a shout out to, not my athlete, but Iron Women listener, Angie, who was there. And she said, so like of all places, it was fun to go to kind of a random winter event in the Northeast and find someone listening to the Iron Women podcast. She's also a triathlete, so it makes sense. But yeah, I think it's, we are far away. You're probably far away from feeling like it's triathlon season too, like in your daily environment. But I'm sure once you get back from Miami, you're going to be pumped up and ready to bring that warm weather up to Montana.
I know. Hopefully I come back with a decent tan. No burn. I gotta make sure I pack that sunscreen because my poor skin has not seen the light of day. But I am excited about this week's interview. Who are you chatting with?
So Haley, this week I talked to Jessica Taranik. She is the owner and creator of Ottawa's Elevate Spin Studio. She was the amateur winner of last year's Western Massachusetts 70.3 and is going into her rookie pro year. So she's going into her rookie pro season this year. And she tells us about how triathlon wasn't always something she had her eye on, but her entry into endurance sports comes from a pivotal life moment, and that continues to drive her. She's racing as a part of the LP endurance squad. So we hear a little bit about that and what she has coming up for the season, how she's approaching it. And it was a super fun talk. It had me all excited. I love the rookie pro vibe. So everyone get excited to hear from Jessica after a word from our sponsors.
Alyssa, AminoCo has been a longtime podcast sponsor. And every time I'm listening to the show and I hear our AminoCo ad, I'm always shocked to hear how AminoCo co-founder Dr. Robert Wolf has run a marathon in under 2 hours and 30 minutes 62 times. I just can't believe that's a real stat.
Me either. It is very impressive, and it gives me a lot of confidence. Dr. Wolf knows what he's talking about when it comes to performance and recovery. I actually took AminoCo Heal before and after my recent knee surgery.
I've been using Heal a lot after really big workouts as I've started to ramp up my training. And I also use my personal favorite, AminoCo Perform, before and during my hardest sessions.
Do you have a favorite flavor?
For Perform, I definitely go with the strawberry lemonade. It has a really light flavor and a little bit of caffeine that I think helps keep me focused during my really tough intervals. And for Heal, I like vanilla. I just feel like vanilla gets me into recovery mode. What about you?
The vanilla Heal is my favorite too. I find it mixes really well into my post-workout shakes that I make.
Wait, what do you put in your shakes?
Well, oftentimes just whatever I have in the fridge, sometimes vegetables, sometimes collagen, you know, whatever I have. Summer shakes are way more interesting because it's like I make them cold. But the winter shakes are a little less fancy.
Do you ever add snow to your winter shakes?
I mean, I'm going to start doing that now.
I don't know. Make sure it's clean snow. I am not quite as fancy. I just add water. I think it still works pretty well. But however you like your AminoCo, you can rest assured that in clinical trials, muscle protein synthesis from exercise more than doubled by athletes using Perform, and Heal was shown to trigger muscle growth and repair better than other high-quality protein sources.
Head to aminoco.com/ironwomen to see very large photos of me and Haley using AminoCo products. Then select your favorite products and use code IRONWOMEN for 30% off at checkout. First time purchases also come with a free gift.
That's aminoco.com/ironwomen and code IRONWOMEN for 30% off.
Happy New Year, Iron Women podcast listeners. For those of you new to the show, we want to tell you about Pillar. Pillar is a sports micronutrition company who have developed products that intersect between pharmaceutical intervention and sports supplements for athletes. The easiest way to describe it is hydration and carbohydrates products that will take you through to the finish line. Pillar's mission is to get athletes to the start line in the best condition over and over again.
After seeing athletes like 2022 Ironman world champion Chelsea Sodero and 2016 Olympic gold medalist Gwen Jorgensen post about using Pillar to improve their sleep performance, I decided to give Pillar Triple Magnesium a try. I take it about 60 minutes before bed, and I do actually feel like I sleep deeper and recover better. In the same way I love to start my day with a coffee, I now wind it down with a cup of Pillar Triple Magnesium and recover better for tomorrow's training.
If you would like to make Pillar part of your 2024 New Year routine and you are in the US, head to thefeed.com/pillar and enter code Feisty for 15% off of your first purchase. For our international listeners, head to pillarperformance.shop and that's code Feisty for 15% off of all first-time purchases. Hi, Jess. Welcome to the Iron Women podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I believe right now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that you are in Ottawa, Canada. And so that is northern part of the northern hemisphere-ish, right? We're getting up there. So what has been your approach to off-season this year? Is it looking any different this year from last year, seeing as you're going into a rookie pro season? How are you approaching things?
Completely different. So I didn't know last year at this time that I would be a pro. So everything has kind of shifted for me. My coach Kalem with LP Endurance, we're working hard on building. We're on this like strength block. So a lot of swimming, a lot of strength work, even on the bike, just to get into a different kind of mimicking different types of the demand will be, especially for swimming, and that's my weakest. So it's been really fun, and it's actually my favorite block that I've ever done. So it's really interesting to see where I was last year to where I am this year. It's really fun. It's so fun for me.
And for you, what does that mean with swimming? Is that like, how are you upping the ante for that?
So I didn't grow up swimming. I would say about even 2 years ago, I was terrible and terrified of it. Swimming, like I didn't like to get wet. Like I was like not a swimmer. So it's been a challenge, but it's been a lot of fun. So I've just started to go like as of, let's say January, even last month, to go 5 days a week swimming. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of pull and paddle work for me. And I've just like, it's like part of my routine now. I can't imagine not swimming almost every day. It's awesome.
So you do like it. So it's starting to win you over.
Yeah. Because I see improvement, and it's so cool because I just really believe that I wasn't good at it. And there's so much technique to it. And I think that's why I like it is you go in to it. I think you're a swimmer. Right.
I've made myself similar story. Probably I've made myself a swimmer, but Haley is like a super swimmer. So she always laughs at me when I talk about this kind of thing of like, how do you just like the water? Right.
Isn't it crazy? Like you see people go out there and you're like, how do you do that? Like it's so amazing. And you try to see how they do it and they just look so effortless. And I go in and I'm probably flailing everywhere, but anyways, it's been a lot of fun. And so I really enjoy it. It's great. Not good for my hair, but it's really good.
Yeah. That's, I feel like post triathlon years, I'll get my hair back in some sort of standard of care here. So I do want to back up and talk to you a little bit about, you mentioned you didn't grow up a swimmer. So, you know, I actually don't think you have like a background thick with athletic history as a kid, like at all. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think some of that is related to a scoliosis diagnosis that you had when you were 10 years old. So can you talk about that and how that might've like framed your early mindset of seeing yourself as an athlete?
Yeah. So again, I didn't grow up swimming, let alone doing anything athletic, but long story short, is as a child, I actually was in track and field and I was pretty good at it. This is, you know, elementary, younger days. And then one day my mom noticed something very strange in my back. And when I bent over and she's like, oh my God, we have to go to the doctor. Went to the doctor, found that I had scoliosis. And so I had to wear a back brace for 2 years.
And then the curvature was just not improving. So we decided on getting back surgery, which is, I have two metal Harrington rods in my spine. And with that came a lot of, I had to learn again, right? So a back surgery was quite intense. So I had to learn how to walk again. Sitting was a problem, and I didn't. So I basically stopped all activity until I was probably 19, 20 years old. I enjoyed being athletic at a young age, but because of scoliosis, it got taken away from me, and especially the surgery and starting off fresh. So I had to learn how to walk again, sit. Everything was painful for me. It was hard for me as a kid because I didn't really have an identity yet, but I love sports, but I couldn't do them. I didn't know what to do, essentially. It was, I don't know. I think growing up, people, or as a child, you try to do, you know, you get into art or singing or anything. And I just really had nothing because I think in my soul, I wanted to be an athlete, but I didn't know how to be because I couldn't be one. Because my doctors told me you'll never be able to do any of those activities ever again. So my brain went straight there, and I believed it for years until now, and I'm 37. So it was an interesting journey of just kind of living in this limiting belief for many, 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 many years. And then fast forward, I don't know if you want me to jump right into that, but at about 20 years old, my twin sister got diagnosed with skin cancer, and she had brain tumor and spread everywhere. And it was malignant melanoma and was stage 4. So I, you know, it's a hard story to talk about because, mm-hmm. you know, she's somebody that I admired so much and my twin, and you see your life in different, you know, kind of the same, but different. And I remember sitting in the hospital room with her and Googling, how do you save your sister who's dying from cancer? And at the time, I'm from BC, British Columbia, in Canada, and they had a ride to conquer cancer called the Ride to Conquer Cancer. And it was a bike ride fundraiser over 2 days that, you know, you had to fundraise and bike for 2 days across to Seattle, Washington. It was super fun, actually, but I didn't even own a bike. I wasn't active. Remember, I had back surgery. I wasn't somebody that thought I could do it. But I remember at that time being like, if my sister is sick and dying with cancer, I can put myself through this for 2 days. The community came together. I got a bike. I wore Lululemon, like flared cropped pants. I had,
but those were not the best choice for biking that long.
Terrible. Like, I don't even know. It's so funny when you look back at the photos, you're like, what was I thinking? Like, how did people let me start this ride? Anyways, and so I even had like a picnic basket on my road bike or hybrid bike at the head at the time. And I had like extra socks in there. I don't even know what, like, again, I had no idea what I was doing. And then I completed the ride, and it was, I don't know. It's a feeling that I've never, like, that you get over, I think, time of when you succeed at something. And it was a feeling of like, wow, I just did that. And it was pouring rain. It's the West Coast. It was just miserable weather, but I remember feeling so fulfilled in that moment. It was such a cool feeling. And then 3 days later, I went to go back to go see my sister in hospital, and she unfortunately passed away the day before, about 3 days after the Ride to Conquer Cancer, which completely shifted my entire life at that time. And that's when I was like, okay, well, you know, we can take this circumstance and we can live with grief and be sad and, you know, which is, it is a terrible thing, but I decided to live for her, and I've been doing that ever since.
And I'm sure, I mean, there's no doubt that she would just be so, so proud of how you've taken the sport, like, clearly, literally by the horns, and what you've done in the time since then. You're now 37 years old. You did your first 70.3 in 2015, I think. And now you're looking to make your pro debut at Ironman Chattanooga 70.3 this year. So when did the dream of racing as a pro begin? Because it sounds like maybe even a year ago, you weren't really like gunning for that aspect of the sport. So how did this come about?
So It's so crazy. It's such a wild, life is so wild. And I know that, you know, I know everyone, like you have a wonderful podcast where you interview so many people, and even your story and Haley's and everybody's that you've talked to, like everyone has a cool story. And I love how life can just hand you some crazy things and you never even thought you would go there. When I had a back surgery and then lost my twin sister, like those were two huge pivotal points in my life. And I didn't grow up with money. My mom couldn't put me in sports before that either. Like, so it's kind of just been this like, oh, I can't do that. But I see people doing things and I just loved it. And it had to do with sports. Like, I'm like, one day maybe I'll be in the Olympics or something, even though that's a huge dream. But it's so fun. I remember watching even the Olympics or sports, you know, any race, I just would sit on the sidelines and go watch the Ironman in Penticton and just be so amazed at these people. I'm like, how do you do that? Like, I think that's so freaking cool. And so when I started biking for the Ride to Conquer Cancer, I did that for 10 years. It just, wow. Something just kept like eating at me. And I remember doing my very first, again, like I just started to like dabble into little things and without training. I remember doing my first half marathon and crossing the finish line. I was wearing like bright pink pants. Again, I was just, let's go on. Like, I didn't even know how to fuel.
It's like, funny. I think we all remember like the outfits of some of those early races and like are mortified by what it was. Yeah.
I'm like, oh man, if I only knew. And so I finished, I think, my first half marathon in an hour and 42 minutes. And I was like, oh, I think that's good. Like, I just had, but I didn't know, like, you just, and so I just kept dabbling. And I like to think of it, I don't know if you know, Brené Brown, she talks a lot about being in the arena. And how I live my life is I try to take an inch always into the arena, deal with it. And then I'm like, okay, what more can I have? And then I just keep going in. And I get fueled by the experiences it gives me. And I'm not really afraid to go after it. However, I'm still terrified. I don't know if that even makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. It's terrifying to do anything new. Like, I now own a business. I've had some failed. And then I keep going. So I'm like, okay, this is fun too. So with the becoming pro, again, wasn't even, never thought I would be announcing it this year, let alone ever in my entire life. But I hired a coach 2 years ago with LP Endurance, and I tore my patella tendon, and then I also broke my patella and foot in last year, and I had to come back from that. And that's why, like, it never even crossed my mind that I would be where I am right now. But we kept going and going, and the training and fueling, just understanding everything more. And as I'm getting older, you just understand more. Like, there's, you know, fuel is a huge thing that I didn't know about. And rest, I thought living 100% all the time was the way you should do it, but rest is very important. And the little things just started to add up and just make more, like, just made, I felt better. And I crossed the finish line in Massachusetts in June, and I won. And I was just like, sorry, what just happened? And it was just such a cool feeling, because I remember thinking how cool it would be to grab the banner and win, but I didn't actually think it would happen. And then I just had some amazing races this year. And we just were like, they kept putting the bug in my ear. Like, do you want to apply to be a pro? I'm like, no, I'm like, there's no way. Like, they're so good. I can't swim. And then I'm like, you know what? Let's just see what happens. Like, what's the worst that can happen? Like, I think it's going to be such a cool, exciting thing to put yourself through, and you get to brace against the best, and you get to, you know, they're also doing training and trying to be better. So, you know, that you're up against some really cool people, and that's what I'm excited about. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that mentality. I think that's a really important perspective to hear for people, because I think so many times a lot of people get kind of paralyzed with the fear of it. Right. And then, but realizing, you know, what's the worst that can happen? Put myself against the best, step into the arena, right? Is such a great perspective to have. And I believe, I would bet that it probably helps to have a little group around you as you're doing this. And so you've mentioned you're part of the LP Endurance Pro Squad, which I think consists of you, Jessica Cullen, who's been an Iron Woman guest last year, and then Allison Jacob, also a rookie pro, I believe. So, yeah. You know, how did it, was it just kind of working out that you, everyone was kind of having breakout seasons as amateurs last year, and then, you know, kind of all working together to be like, all right, this could be fun to like all do it together. You know, is there a squad mentality in it, or like, do you see each other or train together, have those opportunities at all?
Yeah. So they live in Waterloo, which is a few hours away from where I live. So I don't train with them. Unfortunately, I would love to. I train solo all the time in my basement watching, well, cause it's cold out right now, watching like Grey's Anatomy, but it's nice to have their support. You know, we have our calls, monthly calls, and just talking to them about, you know, their fears or things that we can do together, and just joking even about like flip turning in the pool. I'm like, I don't know how to flip turn. Like, you know, I'm trying to learn it. So it's nice to have them just to bounce, not even bounce ideas off, but just to be able to banter about it. It's, mm-hmm. it's so rewarding, because it can be a lonely thing, especially when you're going into something like this. And you know that there's like the pros out there that are like been doing this a long time, and we are rookies. We are new at this, and we want to support each other because we want to go in. We all are, us three are going in like with our full heart, and we want to give it our all. I don't want to just half-ass this, you know, like I know that they feel the same way. We want to make sure that we do it together and have fun along the way also. And that's what's so exciting about it.
Oh, that's awesome. I know. I think that'll be really helpful just to have each other for support along the way this season and beyond. In your real life, Jessica, I think you're the owner of a spin studio, Elevate Spin, and that's in Ottawa. And you opened Elevate 3 months before the COVID pandemic shut everything down. And I saw on one of your Instagram posts that it was 588 days before you were able to open again without capacity limits. And it looks like the business is going strong now. And so I think if there's ever a mark to show that you are an Iron Woman, that would be it. What did that whole roller coaster, I imagine, for lack of a better word, like teach you about yourself? You know, have you been able, has it been far enough removed that you're able to like look back on it with a breath and to be like, okay, we've come out stronger? Or like, where do you stand with that? Cause I just imagine that to be such a, just a huge like life, you know, period of time where it's a lot to go through.
Yeah. Like, you know, COVID was such a crazy time for everybody. And it's crazy because like no one talks about it anymore. And I was so excited to open up my studio. And that's the funny thing about life, is it kind of all started with, you know, my sister who passed. I started biking, and then I started to dabble in, you know, running and sports and triathlons. And then I'm like, oh, I can bike and teach to people and create a community. Like, this is so freaking cool. And I started a different business similar to this, but then left it to do my own. And that's what brought me to Ottawa. And I wanted to build something where a community can come together and just feel supported. So we opened December 2019, and it's a spin class, like a soul cycle. Like we ride to the beat of the music. It's totally different than like what we do on like Swift, but it's so much fun. And I love people coming in the doors who you see their lives changing, and I don't know what it is, but we just support. And that's like the main reason why I named it Elevate. Elevate is about rising above, and I wanted everyone to feel that way. So we opened December 2019, and then COVID hit in March, and it was just wild. And, you know, shutting down, we had to, just like many other businesses out there, but we had to completely pivot, and we had to, you know, capacity limits changed to, we had 30 something bikes to only 10 bikes, and you had to be how many meters apart, and anyways, so on. It went on and on and on. And then it was like, okay, open, and then close, and open, then close. You're like, oh my God, my whole brain hurts from like trying to figure this out. But again, it's if you surround yourself with a proper community and the proper people. I honestly believe if we didn't have that, I wouldn't be here today. We have been open now for 4 years, and it's the best year yet. Like, it's just been so awesome. And I'm very fortunate, because having that business, and I don't know anyone who's ever started a business or you know, wanting to do something, you put your whole heart into it. It's busy, it's time consuming, and but it's because you love it. And so it's now up to the point where I didn't even think we'd make it a few years ago because of COVID, and even starting a new business is terrifying, let alone throw in COVID. And we are here 4 years later, and it gives me the capacity to train. And that's when during COVID, I actually, because we were shut down, I got my first triathlon bike. And then I'm like, okay, let's go biking because there's nothing else to do. And that's kind of, it's like, again, the part of life that's so not funny, but just everything just brings you to the next step. So COVID, I shut down my business because of it, not shut down, sorry, you know, during that time, and got my bike and started biking outside more. And then I did Muskoka 70.3. And I was like, oh, I was a little faster in that one. Like, so interesting. Like, and then we opened our doors again and at Elevate Spin. And then it's given me this like new outlook on just training. And so everything has just been kind of this wave of things that just all build up and bring you to where you are today. And that's why I'm just so grateful. I just feel grateful.
And it seems like, you know, that aspect of community has always played a large role for you, you know, like the community of people who got you through that first Vancouver to Seattle ride, the community of people from Elevate Spin. And then, you know, even the community with LP Endurance, it sounds like has been kind of a big stepping off point for you to, you know, go for some bigger goals here and see what you can do. And you can just tell, you know, your personality definitely is contagious in wanting others to succeed and wanting to work hard and succeed yourself.
Yeah. Like, you know, again, if it wasn't for a team of people that even started putting the bug in my ear for being a pro, like, I don't know if I would do it. You know, it's, you don't, what's the word people say, like imposter syndrome and all this stuff. And I, sure, I feel it. I'm like, oh, I'm not that good. Like, I don't know if I can do this, but I want to believe in myself. And the most important thing I think for me doing this, especially not having an athletic background, I didn't have to go to business school. I've just kind of figured it out along the way because that's how I live my life. And I'm not really afraid to try something new if I believe in it. And I really do believe, I mean, age is just a number. I'm 37. I want to do my very first full Ironman in Penticton, which is in my home area. I'm totally terrified. I've never done that. I've never even ran a marathon, but and to do it as a pro, like there's a little bit more pressure. So, but I'm so excited because it just means that I care and I want to do it. Like I don't see, again, what's the worst that can happen? Like, okay, maybe I don't do good, but whatever. Like, you don't know until you try. And that's why I believe that going for my pro license was not only rewarding for me, but I really, really do believe if I can share my story, and that's why I'm so grateful to be on this podcast, I really hope people can believe in themselves too. I really just think we are so stuck in seeing people get something right away when you don't really see that they've worked so hard for it behind the scenes. And we're so hard on ourselves nowadays. I think we always have, a lot of people have been, but I think just now more so with social media and stuff, I really do want people to believe that they can literally do whatever they want if they put their heart into it.
And just a lot of people come to triathlon from the spin studio route these days, right? Because things like Elevate Spin, SoulCycle, Peloton are all very accessible and great ways to make cycling more accessible to people because, you know, it's not always the most accessible sport. So I guess I have a couple questions. First, should someone be looking for a particular attribute or quality in a spin studio or a class that you would say makes it like better for triathlon training or just wherever you're going to walk in the door consistently?
They're hard. Like, have you ever gone to a class?
Sister's a big soul cycler. And so she loves it, has like the bike, you know, so when I go visit her, I do a class. And I mean, Jess, I have no rhythm. And so I struggle. I can do Peloton. Like I can do it, but like really with the beat, it's really hard for me. And it's a lot of high cadence stuff, which is also not something I'm good at. And so I really struggle. I admit fully that I really struggle because it is like rhythmic, right? Yeah.
Yes. Like, you know, I didn't grow up dancing either. Like, I wasn't this big, whatever. I didn't understand what a beat was, like, you know, but it's, and so doing this and doing this workout, it's so hard. Like, it's mm-hmm. so hard. Like, so yes, I believe anyone who wants to try to, is training for a triathlon, doesn't have a bike at home and wants to go to one of these classes, like, oh my gosh, like, you will get something out of it for sure. Because you're really, you're working something different than tracking numbers or calories or watts, right? Like, you're really just going off of feel, and it pushes you. Like, it's such a cool, it's a really, it is a fun workout, definitely.
And so how would you, you know, obviously it's not a one-to-one, right? So if someone's comfortable in a spin studio, they want to still kind of get onto a road bike or a time trial bike, whatever bike, before triathlons, and kind of, you know, make sure that they could do both. Would you recommend doing a class as like just a hard aerobic workout, and then doing some, like, you know, can you do strength on in the spin classes? How would you work it in yourself? And then what sessions would you still do on your time trial bike? Not necessarily as you are right now, but, you know, for someone getting into the sport.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's, I think it's a good way to balance. Definitely being on your TT bike is going to be beneficial for you to get in that position and be comfortable sitting on that bike for a really long time. Where being in, say, a spin studio like mine or the other ones like Peloton, SoulCycle, you just get a good feeling of your, I don't even know, like, your endurance just really takes off in there, because again, you're not watching anything. Everything is just by feel, and it's amazing what you can do by just feeling it. You know, I'm sure you felt it too, where you just surprise yourself by not looking at a watch, and you're like, oh wow, like, that was incredible. Like, we can get so caught up in numbers and how fast we're going, but sometimes the best is just listening to some music. So I think if people went in, they do maybe one or two classes a week, and then they would just ride on their time trial bike outside or indoors, depending on where you live, twice a week too. So it just depends on their training schedule. I'm sure everyone's a little bit different, but that's probably what I would do.
I love it. And I read that you're also an avid hiker, which I love. You've hiked a lot of peaks and trails. You've been to Everest Base Camp, Machu Picchu, Kilimanjaro, West Coast Trail. And a few weeks ago, like 2.5 months ago, you posted that you've been dreaming up some more adventures. So, you know, going into rookie pro year, you're also kind of dreaming up adventures. Do you have a plan of balancing kind of that side of yourself within being a pro triathlete?
Oh, I love hiking. I wish I could have it all, you know, like, and I know you can't, like, you can, but you have to balance it. So there's right now, it's priorities is, you know, I made a decision, I'm going to be a pro. I need to go all in. So there's like a bit of there's obviously a priority there for this year, especially. You know, hiking and countries like where I've been, and I went to Kilimanjaro, like you said, and Everest, it's just such a different rewarding feeling. And that's what I love about, again, life. Like, it gives you these opportunities to see a whole different culture and a different appreciation of life. And it's almost like you slow it down versus all the things that we're doing in triathlon. They're pretty fast and intense, where this is a way of just, you're walking and you just walk and you walk forward and you just climb. And it's a different way where you can just, again, it's be in your thoughts and learn a little bit about yourself. So yeah, I would love to, I wish I could just pack up right now and go for a week and do the Camino de Santiago Trail, which is what I really want to do. But I know I shouldn't right now, but I definitely, I'm thinking if I can, maybe after, maybe sometime in the fall, if I don't have any races, I would love that. It's like something that I've always wanted to do. It's just, I feel like a type of trail pilgrimage walk that should be something that's rewarding in a different way. And anyways, so yes, I know that I want to give my all to pro right now, but definitely I wish I could go hike all these things right now also.
Yeah. I feel like hiking definitely has its place in the off season, at least for now for you. So you can keep dreaming that up. I also read that you have an obsession with the British royal family. Oh, so tell me a little bit about that. Is there a favorite?
But did you hear Prince King Charles got diagnosed with cancer today?
I did see that. Yeah. So do you, for someone who's very interested in the royal family, do you get your royal news the same way we do? Like, it just comes on an alert to your phone one day, Twitter, you know, all that stuff? Or is there like a secret British royal family news thing you follow?
How do you go about it? No, I think people just text me. Like, I just finished swimming and like somebody, I got my phone. And as soon as I got out of swimming, it's like, did you hear about the king? I was like, I don't know where this obsession came from. As a little girl, I think I watched when Princess Diana died, and it was just devastating to me. And ever since then, I've just been like obsessed. Like, I remember going to London for 5 days, and I just went there to see Coldplay because I have a thing for English people. I don't have no idea why. And I went to Buckingham Palace, just walked there every day and sat there and had like lunch and a coffee. And it was just to be there. It's so weird. Aren't we weird? We're all weird.
I know. I mean, everyone has their thing, but I love that. I think you definitely need to be finding some races over in Europe so you can like 100%. Integrate some royal family like snooping or something along the way. You are also a dog lover, and we are all dog lovers at Iron Women. So can you tell us a little bit about your dog Atlas, who I think wanted to say hello earlier, but now we can talk about Atlas. So does Atlas train with you? What kind of dog is Atlas?
Oh, Atlas. He is a 9-year-old mini Australian shepherd, and he is my little baby. I don't have kids, so he's literally my baby. And he is just sleeping right underneath me now. He actually just tore his little, like, it's called a CCL, but little ACL. Little guy. So I have to take care of him right now. But no, he doesn't like to run. I've tried to run with him, but he just kind of gives me a little bit of attitude, and he just sits down. I'm like, okay. And so he just wants to play with the ball, and that's it.
I really think I have one of each dogs. One's like an inside dog, I call her. And then we have an outdoor dog. And I think the inside dog is actually the best for a pro triathlete, because you can do your training, you come home and you have a buddy at home. Whereas otherwise they have to be able to do your training with you to tie themselves out. Otherwise it's like a deadly combo, because then you have two people's training to be worrying about, yourself and the dog.
Sure. Yeah. And I try, like, I say to him, I'm like, let's go for a little 20-minute, like after my, like an easy, like brick run or something.
Yeah.
Let's go. And he'll be like, no. I'm like, okay.
Him and my Ramona would be fast friends, I think. Okay. We've talked a little bit about this, but let's remind our listeners. So you are opening your season at Chattanooga 70.3. It sounds like you are planning to be in Penticton as an Ironman debut, which is very exciting. Do you have anything else planned for in between?
So a few of us, we mentioned Jess and Allison. We're going to be doing Trombla as well. We know the course. It's only a few hours from where I live. It's beautiful. So I think that's the plan so far. I haven't completely booked it, and just because I want to see if there's any other options. Like, I was thinking of maybe traveling up to Europe, maybe doing something up there. But yes, so right now Trombla, but Chattanooga, which I'm excited about too, and then the full, which I'm totally terrified for. So if anybody has any tips, please send them my way. But I'm excited for it.
Well, at the Iron Woman podcast, we can't be held responsible for the tips, but hopefully they're all good ones that get sent your way. And we will leave your Instagram in our show notes for everyone to follow along. And Jess, thanks so much for taking time today to tell us a little bit about your story, and we'll be cheering for you this season.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Alyssa, I'm like starting to swim more again. And I feel like you were swimming a lot last year with one water. And how did you keep your hair from getting so destroyed?
I was swimming so much last year, and I used Try Hard, Kelly, and I still swear by it. They have extensively researched this problem and created a superior vegan, dermatologically tested proprietary blend. Try Hard has shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more stuff. Everything you're going to need for your pre and post swim necessities. I've also seen that top pros like Chelsea Sodaro and Lucy Charles Barkley also praise the effectiveness of Try Hard. I think it's like definitely changed how good I feel just coming out of chlorine.
And we have a code right now too for anyone who wants to try Hard and stop suffering from dry, itchy skin, having their hair get all, you know, green, which happens to me because mine's like super blonde and get all beat up. You can try any of the Try Hard products with the code 20feisty, that's 20feisty, for 20% off store-wide at tryhard.co. So that's 20feisty for 20% off at tryhard.co.
Thanks so much to Jess for coming on, and we look forward to seeing how her racing unfolds this season. And little reminder to our listeners, next week is race week for Haley. So Haley, good luck heading to Miami. Can't wait to see how it unfolds. I will be doing a little bit of a preview for the T100 PTO World Tour opener in Miami with the women of If We Were Riding. We believe that will be coming out into this feed on Friday. So keep an eye out for that. And then, of course, we will get all the nitty-gritty details from Haley, first-person account the following week, I think.
Yes, I'm excited. If nothing else, I'm getting content for the podcast. I'll think about that when I'm suffering in the heat in Miami. But thank you for the cheers. Thanks for holding down the fort while I'm gone. And hopefully I have a lot of stories when I get back. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks, Alyssa.
Bye, Haley.
You've been listening to the Iron Women podcast hosted by Haley Chura and Alyssa Gadeski.
Iron Women is a production of Feisty Media and is edited by Lydia Russell and produced by Ella Natition.
Head to livefeisty.com to find more podcasts, stories, and fresh perspectives.
Thanks for listening.